Well, good morning. My name is Chad, and I do serve with the Send Network here in Columbus and also at LifePoint. Really grateful to be with you here today at LifePoint in Delaware as we continue this series that we're calling Detours, where the main idea is God uses even our wrong turns to get us to the right places. When I first got married about 11 years ago, my in-laws gave me a GPS. Now, if you don't know what a GPS is, it was a little box about the size of a cell phone, an electronic device that would basically tell you the way to go. It was like a maps app in an electronic device. So my in-laws gave me a GPS because they lived up here in Ohio, and we lived in Arkansas at the time, about 12 hours away. So they wanted us, or they wanted really their daughter to make it safely to Ohio when we came to visit. They didn't probably care about me that much, but they wanted their daughter to be safely getting to Ohio when we came to visit, so they gave us a GPS. And one of the amazing things about a GPS is that whenever you got off your route, say you took an exit you weren't supposed to take, or you took a wrong turn, or maybe you just got off the exit to make a stop, but you didn't turn off the GPS, it would automatically do this amazing thing called recalculating. In fact, it would pull up on the screen the words recalculating, and it would say the words recalculating, and it would adjust your wayward turn, adjust your route to your wayward turn. And no matter what kind of wrong turn you took or wrong route that you happened to be on, it would get you to your destination pretty much immediately after just a few seconds. Now, the irony of this is that a GPS, although it's really effective, we don't use it much now because of our cell phones. One thing it won't do is it won't tell you when you're about to be out of gas. And that would have been really helpful for me because on our way to Ohio once, I actually ran out of gas, much to my wife's chagrin. But anyway, the idea of this series is really God takes our recalculating. He recalculates the wrong turns that we take, the places that we go that we shouldn't go or don't need to go to get to our destination. And he uses that and recalculates that to get us where he wants us to be. And the amazing thing is about God, because of his grace, because of the gospel, it's never too late to recalculate. Now, I know that sounds like a 1980s rock ballad, but it's a really great principle for us today. So that's what we're going to look at. But before we kind of get into the passage today, we need to do a little bit of a recap of the last few chapters of the book of Genesis, because we left off last week with the story of Judah and Tamar. And this week, we really cover quite a few chapters in the book of Genesis. So we see that Joseph has made it to Egypt, and that he's in Egypt, and through a series of crazy events, he was left in a pit where his brothers left him for dead, then eventually sold him into slavery, and now he's made it to the palace. He is the second in command. Only Pharaoh is higher up than he is. He was wrongly accused of a crime and put in prison for a period of time, but made it eventually up to be the second in command in Egypt. So the known world at this time is in year two of a seven-year famine. And God put Joseph, because of his dreams, in this position to be able to save up enough of the grain in the good years so that when the bad years came, the famine came, that they would have enough to eat not only in Egypt, but in most of the known world. And so this is how Joseph and his brother Judah and the rest of his brothers are reunited. They're reunited through the famine. Judah and his brothers cannot find any more food where they are. So they go to Egypt because they heard that there is food, and they are then reunited with their brother Joseph. And in this story, in these chapters, in the latter part of the book of Genesis, we start to see the real transformation in Judah's life. He goes from, number one, lobbying to have Joseph sold into slavery, refusing justice to his daughter-in-law, sleeping with her. He didn't know it was her. He just thought it was a prostitute, which doesn't make it any better. So he goes from all of that to admitting his sin, owning his mistakes, and then eventually offering himself as a substitute for the life of his younger brother, Benjamin. So he went from selling one brother into slavery to being willing to substitute his own life for another brother when he finally meets Joseph and is reunited with Joseph. So he has changed. And there's no doubt that he's a different person when we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 50. So we're going to look at that. Genesis chapter 50 and verses 15 through 21. Here's what it says. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of your servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke these words to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide you for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So this is kind of the resolution of the story of Judah and Joseph. And we see from the life of these two guys here that the grace of God changes us. It changed Judah. And there's a couple of wonderful truths about the grace of God that works with the detours in our life. The first one is this: the grace of God means that it's not too late. It's not too late. Judah had to wait 20 years before he saw Joseph again. 20 years. In fact, he never thought he'd see him again. He thought he was lost forever when they sold him into slavery in Egypt. And the fact is, after all this time, after all the pain, after all the wrong that Judah has done to Joseph, they are eventually reconciled together. Now, you had to think that Judah never thought he would see this day. Maybe Joseph thought he would never see this day. And yet, here it is. It's not too late for them to be reconciled together. And I think if we're honest, we wrestle with this idea. We think, you know what? There's some things in the past that have just been too painful, and it's too late to resolve those things. Or maybe we just went too far and we crossed a line, kind of a point of no return, if you will, and there's no going back. Or maybe there's a relationship that we've feel like we've damaged to the point that it's irreparable. There's just no salvaging it. And I think if there's anything we take from the story of Judah's life and of Joseph's life, it's that it's not too late. It's not too far gone. We haven't abused the goodwill of God, the grace of God, and the goodwill of others to the point that it's too late. So it's not too late for us to reconcile that relationship that we have. It's not too late for us to apologize for that mistake that we made. It's not too late to start over. It's not too late to start fighting for your marriage. It's not too late to reach out to that estranged son or daughter of yours. And listen, the question is probably not if we need to hear this idea that it's not too late, but where in our life we need to hear the truth that it's not too late. All of us have regrets. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have detours in our life. The question is, in what area of our life do we need to hear that it's not too late? It's not too late to be free from that addiction. It's not too late to change your mind. It's not too late to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. It's not too late to make amends. It's not too late to intervene. It's not too late to come clean. So the question is, what area of your life do you most need to hear that's not too late? You know, if you look at Judah's story, it's really just a picture of repentance. It's a picture of what repentance means. Now, repentance is a good Bible word. It basically means to change your mind or to change your direction, to turn around, to leave one thing for the sake of another. I don't know about you and your background, but for me, repentance often has carried with it a pretty negative connotation. In fact, a lot of preachers have used the word repentance almost like a weapon. They've weaponized repentance. I remember a lot of revival speakers that anytime they used the word repentance, it was always paired with the idea of the fires of hell, right? But repentance is really a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, we do have to give up some things in repentance. We leave some things behind, but we also get something. And that something is really a someone, and that is Jesus. But often you hear repentance thrown out there as giving up all the fun things that you enjoy or all the things you love most about life. But repentance is more than that. It's wonderful. It's the door that we walk through for a relationship with God. Repentance is Judah unloading all the guilt and shame of what he did to Joseph all those years ago. Repentance is actually being forgiven. It leads to forgiveness. Repentance means that we get our life back. It means that we get our life back. And so it's a great thing. It's a great truth. It's a great word. And so what about you? What do you need to repent of? What have you decided is, man, it's just too late? Where do you need to make amends? What relationship needs repairing in your life? Where do you need to give and receive forgiveness? The great truth of this passage and this series and Judah's life is that it's not too late. Now, some of you may be here this morning and you're asking, yeah, but what if it really is too late? Like, maybe someone in your life that you had a damaged relationship with, maybe they're no longer here. Maybe they've passed away. And you're saying, listen, it's too late for me. What do I do about that? We never got to reconcile before it was too late. Well, here's the encouraging thing about the grace of God. It may be difficult, impossible for you to reconcile that relationship physically with that person, but it doesn't mean you can't reconcile it with God spiritually. It doesn't mean that you can't get forgiveness. It doesn't mean that you can't bring it to God and leave it with him and leave the guilt and the shame of that broken relationship at his feet. You can live forgiven even if you feel like it's too late from a physical relationship sense. That's the grace of God. So it's not too late. That's what we see in Judah's life and in Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers. But not only do we see that it's not too late, there's another truth that this passage and this story is teaching us, and that is that God never wastes anything. God never wastes anything. So the pinnacle of Judah's story is found in Joseph's response to his brothers, and the wrong that they did toward him. Look at Genesis 50 and verse 20. Joseph is speaking and he says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Joseph is able to forgive his brothers and sees the hand of God in his life, even in the darkest times, right? He can look back and look what Judah did to him, look what his brothers did to him and say, God meant all that for good. Yes, you meant it for evil, and it was evil. He's not explaining it away. He's not saying it wasn't wrong. He's saying it was evil, and you meant it for evil. But God took the evil thing that you did and worked it out for good. God worked all the bad, all the jealousy, all the maliciousness, the prison, the wrongful accusations. He worked all that out in Joseph's life for good. Why? Because God doesn't waste anything. God doesn't waste any experience in our life. He doesn't waste any loss in our life. He doesn't waste any detour in our life. No. God has the ability to redeem even the most evil things that have been done to us or that we've done. That is the grace of God. And this narrative really helps us out with this question so much. We get, you know, one of the fundamental human questions is, what do you do about evil? I mean, where did evil come from? One of the questions that often is posed to Christianity is, if Christianity is real, then what do you do with the problem of evil? How do you reconcile the fact that there's evil in the world? Some people ask even harder questions like, you know, did God create evil? Does God allow evil? These are hard questions. Some people are all over the map on their responses. So when we think about this, did God create evil? Did he cause evil? I don't think so, right? Like that would create another whole theological problem for us. But it's hard to know, right? What does God actually, where's the origin of evil come from? Others would ask, well, does God allow evil? I don't know. Does God allow suffering? I don't know. Maybe he does. It's a hard question. But here's an answer. Here's a question we can be for sure to answer. Does God redeem evil? And the answer is absolutely he does. Does he cause it? I don't think so. Does he allow it? I don't know. But can he redeem it? Absolutely. Like that's the God that we serve. He can take even the most difficult, darkest situation and circumstance that we either do or is done to us, and he can totally redeem it. That's what God does for Joseph. He takes the evil done to him and uses it for the good of Judah and his brothers and the whole of humanity. Now, there's a lot of people that may look at this passage, maybe even a lot of pastors, preachers, and they might say, you know, hang in there because your trials are going to produce something good for you. Be patient in your difficulty because God is just taking you from the prison to be a prince, or he's taking you from the pit to the palace or something like that. And look, while it's true that we're talking about God never wasting anything and he works all things out together for good, but the idea of God always coming through for us and giving us more and bigger and better, that misses the point of this story. All right, that's not the point here. Not only does it not always turn out that way for us in our life, but it misses the whole point of the narrative. Because obedience to God doesn't always make us better off in the end. I mean, look at Joseph. Joseph obeyed God. He did not commit sin with Potiphar's wife, and yet she wrongly accused him and he was thrown into prison. For what? Being obedient. So obedience does not always produce this more or better life for us. And better yet, look at Jesus. The more obedient that Jesus was, the closer he got to the cross. At his highest point of obedience, Jesus was suffering on the cross, giving his life, laying down his life and dying. So we can't lose the fact that following Jesus does not always mean rainbows and butterflies. But we can be confident that no matter what we face in this life, God is working out things for our good and his glory. Not always like we wish they would be or might want them to be, but always for our good. Why? Because God never wastes anything. And God redeems even the most difficult things in our life. See, Joseph suffered a lot at the hand of Judah and his brothers. But this whole story really isn't about Joseph in the end. And when you make it about Joseph, it's easy to miss the point. See, Joseph knows it. He sees what's happened. He understands what God is doing. He says God used all of this suffering in his life primarily to send him to Egypt to preserve life. That so many in the world, including his own family, their lives would be preserved through his suffering. And this includes Judah, because Judah would have kids, and Judah's kids would have kids, and their kids would have kids, and eventually you would get to King David. Then King David would have kids, and his kids would have kids, and eventually you get to Jesus himself. So Jesus is a direct descendant of both David and Judah. And so it all comes down to this idea that God sent Joseph and all his suffering and all the detours that he faced into Egypt so that Judah doesn't starve. That's primarily what's going on here. Because if Judah starves, there is no Jesus. But see, God doesn't waste anything. For what man means for evil, God redeems for good. What man means for evil, God can redeem for good. Jonathan Edwards says it this way: because of Jesus, all our bad things turn out for good. All our good things can never be lost. And the best is yet to come. Because of Jesus, all our bad things turn out for good. All our good things can never be lost, and the best is yet to come. That's the grace of God. He doesn't waste anything. So if God can redeem the evil done against Joseph, if God can forgive the evil of Judah's actions and his brothers, if God can redeem the most unjust act of human history, which is the execution of the Son of God, then don't you think God is able to redeem whatever we go through in our lives, whatever mistakes that we make, whatever detours we take, is God not able to even redeem those parts of our lives? If God can preserve all of these situations and preserve life in them, then what could God do with our story? He doesn't waste anything. Why? Because of his grace. I find it really interesting that at the end of this narrative, you know, Joseph, after his father died, he very well could have said, now that my father is dead and it's just you brothers that I'm left with here, now I can finally get my revenge. And he could have said, see, I told you that you would come. I told you about my dream, that you would come before me and you would bow down to me. I told you this would happen. I told you so. He could have said the biggest I told you so in human history. And yet he doesn't. He forgives them. He's gracious toward them. He doesn't even allow their scheming when they say, our father told us to tell you to forgive us. Jacob never says that to them. And don't you think Jacob would have told Joseph that if it were true? And so even in their conniving and even as changed as they are, they're still trying to finagle a way to kind of cover up what they did to Joseph. And yet Joseph is still gracious to his brothers and gives them forgiveness even after Jacob dies. This is what grace looks like. And they can't believe it. It feels too good to be true. They just can't believe that Joseph is going to forgive them that much. And yet he does. And so if Joseph can be gracious to his brothers who did all of these things to him, and Jesus could be gracious to us and all the things that we've done to him, then you know what that means? It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to turn around. It's not too late to repent. It's not too late to ask for forgiveness. It's not too late to make amends. It's not too late. And then we can be sure that God never wastes anything. God never wastes anything. All the detours, all the missteps, all the misdirection, God is working all things out together for our good and his glory. The question is, do you personally know and have experienced this grace? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to just look at your word and look at the stories of these imperfect people in Scripture. Lord, sometimes we do. We hold them up as heroes, but they're really not. They're just people. They're just real people who are flawed and weak like we are. And yet, God, you gave them grace. They maybe thought they had gone too far, they had crossed a line somewhere, and yet, Lord, even their deepest mistakes you were able to redeem. Why? Because it's not too late. And not only that, God, you don't waste anything. You use all the circumstances in their life to bring about your purpose. And God, we know that it's the same for us because we're just like they are. So I pray that wherever we are today, that you would encourage us with the grace of Jesus, that it's not too late and you never waste anything. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.